1. My wife and I are living at my in-laws' house. A few years ago, they gave us the house because they moved to Jalisco, where he is from. They left it up to us to decide whether to throw away or keep the furniture. My wife knows that this house will eventually be hers, although nothing is on paper yet. She lived in this house since she was born until the year we met, because after a few months we moved into an apartment that we were renting for a while. In 2019, my father-in-law retired and almost immediately took his wife to live in a house that he had built back in his town. Right when we moved here, things started to improve for us in business, so we finally decided to start growing our family. Everything was fine in this house. I mean, nothing strange had ever happened. It was a quiet and peaceful place, but one day something strange happened. Without warning, inexplicable events began to occur, each one more terrifying than the last. Of all the things that we kept from my in-laws, the only thing I found odd was that my wife didn't want us to get rid of a creepy painting she had hung on the wall in the living room. The reason was simple and silly. According to her, the painting had been in her house for as long as she could remember. There wasn't much information about the portrait, except that her grandmother had also had it. And since she claimed it had the same last name as her family, it could be a generational treasure. Anyway, it always gave me the creeps. Her gaze was very real, fixed straight ahead, made to look like she was looking you straight in the eye. Well, one day when I went down to the living room in the morning, I noticed something strange about the painting. The subject of the oil painting had partially darkened. The material or the paint looked damaged. It could have been fungus or humidity, although it didn't look much like either. The only thing left intact was the gaze. The eyes were still clearly distinguishable and, in fact, I think that because there was no body to contain them, the intensity of their gaze increased. Maybe it was time to throw it in the trash, but my wife refused. She talked about contacting a friend of a friend who restores things. 2 weeks later, I reminded her how stressed we had been in the business. One afternoon, she came home a little upset. Suddenly, she got tired of seeing it so discolored and threw it in the trash herself. She took it out of the house and threw it in a trash can that we have in the yard. After dinner, we cleaned up the living room and dining room a bit. Then we closed the door that leads to the patio, went up to the bedroom, and in less than an hour we were already asleep. Around 3 in the morning, Carla woke me up because she heard noises downstairs in the living room. I went downstairs thinking that a cat had gotten in, but I was prepared in case someone had gotten in. Just as I was going down the stairs, before turning on the light, as I looked towards one of the walls of the living room, I found a pair of eyes staring back at me from the darkness. I stopped and got ready for a confrontation, but moments later I understood that it was the gaze of the painting. There was just something to consider: the portrait must be in the trash. It was a matter of seconds, but all that went through my head moments before turning on the light. When I did, I found that there was no painting on the wall, nothing and no one, just the silhouette left by the portrait over the years. In fact, to confirm this, I looked through one of the windows to the patio. In the trash can, I could see part of the frame sticking out from the edge. It must have been my imagination because the door was tightly closed, the painting was in its place, and the wall was empty. I went up to the bedroom and immediately told Carla what I had just seen. We went back to bed and then she asked me if I had discovered what caused the noise that woke her. The truth is that I forgot to check because I was distracted by the eyes that I thought I saw on the wall. I got out of bed, but I kept wondering whether it would be a good idea to go and see or wait until the sound came again. Although I hadn't looked for it very carefully a few moments ago, there didn't seem to be anything or anyone downstairs. I would have probably identified it by finding the door or one of the windows open. That's when the door to the room started to open. It wasn't unusual, knowing that the lock didn't always close properly. The thing is that there was no draft that could have pushed it open. When it opened completely, the gaze of that painting appeared under the threshold. It was obvious that it wasn't a person, but a portrait, because in addition to not being big enough, it was very easy to identify. Carla got up immediately to turn on the light. At that moment, I was thinking about ghosts, while she was almost certain that there was someone in the house trying to scare us. She didn't tell me it was her sisters, but she must have thought of them. To be honest, I got out of bed thinking about a ghost. We both went downstairs to the living room. She followed me, but on the way she was looking for something to defend herself with. When we finished going down the stairs, I looked toward that wall in the living room and saw the gaze in the painting again. Only when I turned on the light, the painting was hanging there. The door to the patio was open and, evidently, the portrait was no longer in the trash can. I considered for a moment the possibility that someone was playing a joke on us. Carla, for her part, shuddered at the thought of ghosts. A little later, I learned that she knew something that I didn't at the time. In case some relative, neighbor, or acquaintance was trying to scare us, I think they were succeeding. My legs were shaking and my hands were sweating, while my wife began to feel sick to her stomach. Maybe the painting doesn't want to go, Carla said, which made me even more nervous. All this was incomprehensible, illogical, and downright terrifying. And even more so when we realized that we couldn't get the painting out of the house. Something always happened that prevented us from doing so. Most of the time, the door would get stuck when we wanted to leave with the painting under our arm. We threw it in the trash, but the truck stopped coming. There were times when we started to feel bad as we headed for the door. We would get a headache, fatigue, and sudden sadness. There came a time when we had no choice but to burn it, but the lighter didn't work and none of the flames caught fire, because they looked as if they were wet. The next thing that happened was that my wife contacted her cousin, who in turn gave her the contact information of a friend. That friend came to the house one day, but at night. When she got in, she started acting very strangely, but I was surprised by the speed and precision of her actions. Answers. She mainly addressed Carla and asked her questions, to which that person seemed to know all the answers. The woman went to a bookcase and from the top took a piece of cardboard that was not even visible. She took it to the table and asked my wife what she had done with it. Carla was surprised, but also embarrassed by the way it was exposed. Indeed, my wife had used an Ouija board weeks ago. The reason was because the other night someone moved a plate in the kitchen. Her cousin's friend asked her if she had been able to communicate using the Ouija, and my wife immediately told her that the whole time she thought it hadn't worked because nothing ever happened, nothing moved, and no message appeared. If there is someone in the kitchen, but don't think about it, you would lose sleep if I told you who it is. And regarding the portrait, it is assumed that my wife invited the person in the painting to come in. That is why strange things suddenly began to happen around said object, which becomes more terrifying with each thought that is passed on to you. Gives it to him. Well, by the way, who is or was the person in the painting? What we had to do to solve it was to invite him to leave. When the woman left the house, she told us to wait until she came back later. So, when we saw him, we were to open both doors and, without looking him in the eye, tell him that he was no longer welcome in the house. When she left, we went up to the bedroom to lock ourselves in. From that precise moment, we began to hear things, but neither of us dared to come down. Obviously, we had to take charge immediately, so I went down and without looking for him, almost instantly I saw the person in the darkness. I couldn't help but look him in the eye, but then I looked down. I opened the patio door for him and told him that he could leave now, that he was no longer welcome. It gave me a horrible chill to be talking to the void, but I did it. Then I left the house and went to the main exit. I opened it and waited, giving him the back. At no time did I feel someone walking past me, although I was expecting it the whole time. After several minutes, I returned to the house, but not before locking the first and second doors. It was an incredible surprise to find that the painting was no longer in the house. Inexplicably, it left the place because we never saw it again. Just as the eyes in the darkness did not surprise us again, the one that left us wondering was in the kitchen. The words of that person were etched into our minds forever. We would lose sleep if we found out who lived in the kitchen. Obviously, we didn't want to know either, but our curiosity remained forever. Not much happens. Only sometimes a plate is moved from one end of the bar to the other, but that's it. Two. The most grotesque story I've ever heard in my life involves a glass eye. My cousin was dating a man who worked at a funeral home. At the time, she had just turned 20, while he was already in his 30s. Let's be honest, my cousin liked that the guy was doing very well and he spoiled her a lot. It makes me laugh to think that the luxuries my cousin wore back then came from preparing people's bodies for their final farewell. The man was called Francisco, he had a glass eye and his children, when they requested the service, asked for it to be placed on their faces. My cousin's boyfriend talked to the relatives. He got the impression that everything related to that matter caused them a little repulsion, as if they didn't want or were afraid to keep that object. Since that man had no eyelid, the eye was exposed and there was no other way to show it, since as his children pointed out when they were interviewed, that's how their father looked in life. Don't think that his appearance bothered him at all, it was the fact that the eye didn't stay in place. Mario told my cousin that the pupil pointed in the direction the technician was walking. It followed him as long as he wasn't looking. They would turn their backs for a moment to get some tool and when they turned around the eye would already be pointing in the direction him. The boy asked permission to remove it from the body on the iron, save it, and place it at the end or whenever it was needed in the process. They told him to place the eyeball in a container, a small plastic cup, and they also instructed him to pour a substance into it and submerge it. This is important because moments after he took the glass to a bar where they had other objects belonging to the person, suddenly a noise was heard that made the boy turn around. First, something crashed on the floor and then it rolled. When he looked, the glass eye was rolling in his direction, towards the metal plate, where it finally stopped. According to the technician's own testimony, it had been a long time since he had heard or seen anything inside his workshop. Nothing paranormal, it should be noted. What is said about the energies of these places is real, it has just been a long time since anything had manifested. In fact, Mario knows people who work in the same field and nothing has ever happened to them. Many believe that it seems to happen by coincidence. The fact is that a woman's voice, unrelated to the body, the guy the boy was working on whispered behind his ear that the guy most likely wanted his eye put back in. The young man got up from the bench and wanted to run away, but there was no one with him and it would be irrational to stop working just because of something he heard or thought he heard. One single detail, the sphere had broken when it fell. Since the inside was made of a moldable material, it didn't explode into a thousand pieces, it just shattered. That was a problem because it meant they weren't handling the body with care. There was no explanation either because the glass with the liquid where the glass eye was intact. It didn't move, much less empty. The family was spoken to again and were told that unfortunately the prosthesis had been damaged, but that they could get another one immediately, but first they had to ask for their approval. At that moment, Mario realized the truth. It wasn't the family's will, but the deceased's. At all costs, they had to take him to the grave with that eye inserted in its place. Just as it was shattered, they would give it to him, had to be placed. This caused discomfort for those who were saying goodbye to him, since no one could avoid morbidly inspecting the glass eye and seeing that it was broken. You can imagine the scene. I know. At the time of the burial, a notary asked that the lid be opened for the last time to confirm that his last wish had finally been fulfilled. All of this would surely help to free up some inheritance for the children, who for some reason were not very convinced by the decision. In fact, it seemed that they were the ones who had the most trouble seeing their father. The notary was the second to last person to see the subject before the lid was closed. The last one was one of the workers who, when he was lowering it, looked at the face and saw something in it that made him scream in horror. The family looked on in surprise, but the boy had to pretend that he had splintered his hand on the wood of the coffin. What he really saw was the dead man's eye looking at him. The pupil was continuing as he lowered the lid forever. Something made Mario think that the children knew that the eye moved at will. We hope you enjoyed it. The Day of the Dead and Halloween specials are just a few nights away. Subscribe so you don't miss them. Turn on notifications to be among the first to hear. Until next time. Someone is watching you in the dark.